Hello, everyone. I'm Coy Wire. This is CNN 10. Happy to be back with you today. I had a stellar trip to Los Angeles to interview Simone Biles and her teammate Jordan Chiles, and they were very happy to hear some of our viewer questions. We'll be bringing that to you tomorrow. For today, though, let's get this show on the road. We begin in Washington, D.C., where a major deadline is looming over the U.S. Congress. Legislators in both houses need to pass a spending bill by September 30th in order to avoid a government shutdown. The U.S. Constitution requires the government to only spend money appropriated, meaning set aside for a specific use by Congress. The spending bills need to be passed by next Monday, since the government's new funding year begins on October 1st. If Congress doesn't appropriate the money in time, a shutdown happens, and federal agencies cease all non-essential functions. The impact is huge. Millions of federal workers and military personnel might have to work without pay. Prior shutdowns have also forced some national parks and monuments to close temporarily, caused flight delays, and threatened nutrition assistance to low-income Americans. House Speaker Mike Johnson unveiled a spending bill over the weekend to try to avoid this. It's a temporary solution that would fund the government until December 20th, not for the full year. That stopgap measure will start making its way through both chambers of Congress this week. Government shutdowns have happened before under both Democratic and Republican administrations. And with only a week to get members of Congress on board with the temporary plan, some agencies are already preparing for a shutdown just in case. Next, we head to Japan, where a coastal region that was devastated by an earthquake in January has now been hit by treacherous flooding and landslides. To all of our viewers there, we hope you and your loved ones are safe. Torrential downpours caused over a dozen rivers in the area to breach their banks in what officials call the heaviest rainfall there on record. Sadly, several people are missing and at least six people have been killed. CNN's Hanako Montgomery has more.
This region was devastated by a massive earthquake on January 1st, a horrible start to the new year. And now it's reeling from what the Japanese weather agency said is the heaviest rainfall that it's ever seen. If you take a look at some of these videos, you can see entire roads and rivers have completely flooded. People are wading through these flooded homes and businesses in just waist-deep water. And if you take a look at some of these homes, they're actually temporary shelters that people evacuated to after that deadly January 1st earthquake that killed hundreds. Here's what one resident had to say about the double disaster.
The earthquake occurred on January 1st, and again, the city became like a scene out of a movie in September. I cannot help thinking the Noto region might be cursed or something. I'm shocked that so many unbelievable things happened in one year.
People are exhausted. They've spent the past few months trying to reconstruct and rebuild this region, and now some of them are having to start all over again. Now, according to local government officials, part of the destruction that we've seen from these floods could have been exacerbated by the damage caused from that earthquake earlier this year, in particular because of the damage caused to embankments and revetments. Now, according to the Japanese government, they've dispatched members of the self-defense force, the police force, and also firefighters to try to rescue any remaining survivors. They're also there to assess the exact extent of the damage caused.
Next up, let's talk about the science of crime fighting. From Sherlock Holmes to Nancy Drew, famous detectives have used fingerprints as clues to track down criminals for decades, right? Well, now a new nanoparticle powder has been developed, and it makes fingerprints even easier to detect. CNN's Anna Stewart has more.
Young PhD student Nick Ross is examining a breakthrough in forensic science. One that could solve some of the oldest crimes and bring what was once invisible to the surface.
So what we've done, what we've aimed to do, is create a new powder for developing fingerprints. Powders are the most widely used, most successful method for developing fingerprints, but they have lots of issues already and there's always room for improvement.
The powder dusting method to identify fingerprints has been utilized since the 19th century. But even as the most widely used method of developing prints, there's only so much this earlier technique can detect.
What we're hoping is that we'll be able to get fingerprints that current powders can't get. We should be able to get fingerprints that maybe someone's washed their hands more recently and they've touched something, but they've left residue behind, but we're going to be able to get that using a more sensitive powder.
Ross, along with other experts, created this luminous substance, made from tiny particles of matter and a sugar found on the exterior of shellfish. Made of natural oils and sweat, fingerprints can sometimes evaporate. But the smaller particles and fluorescence in this new powder can light up much smaller details.
This image is particularly nice because the fingerprint is so different to the banknote itself. It's so clear. The fluorescence of the particles are so strong that there's no chance you mistake the detail for the banknote. There's even, as you can see, a fluorescent detail in the background, but that fluorescent detail is not strong enough to contrast with the fingerprint that's been enhanced.
For now, experts can detect prints up to a month after it's been deposited.
So could we go back and visit cold cases? I would be reasonably optimistic about this because there will inevitably be some residue left, perhaps not very much, but we don't need very much.
You just saw how scientific advances are making fingerprints easier to detect. Well, technology is also making it easier to observe microscopic images and capture them on video. Check it out.
This video illustrating how fruit fly embryos form won first place in the Nikon Small World in Motion competition. In order to capture the video, zoologist Dr. Bruno Velutini used a technique called light sheet microscopy, which allows scientists to record video of a live organism under the microscope. The Nikon Small World in Motion competition blends art and science by showcasing scientific and technological advances through videos and time-lapse photos all taken under the microscope. Submissions this year included water droplets evaporating from the wings of a butterfly, a cell in the spinal cord of a zebrafish, and other beautiful scientific imagery.
Pop quiz hotshot, the original set of emoji created in 1999 are all permanently kept where? Samsung headquarters, Museum of Modern Art, Japan's Parliament, or Tokyo National Museum? Ding, ding, ding. Answer is the Museum of Modern Art, or MoMA, in New York. In 2016, it acquired the original 176 emojis made for cell phones and pagers back in the 90s for its permanent collection. For those of us who like to use emojis, we're about to have some more options. 8 of them. Coming soon to a phone near you, we have an exhausted face, a purple splatter, some root veggie, a leafless tree, a harp, a shovel, a fingerprint. All of these were approved by a non-profit organization called the Unicode Consortium, who not only approve emoji, but all characters used in software around the world will see these rolled out in the next few months. Which one's your favorite? Today's story getting a 10 out of 10. Why don't you hear this? Meet Pesto, a 9-month-old baby penguin that is ginormous and becoming a social media sensation. He's already bigger than both of his parents. Pesto is 3 feet tall and weighs a whopping 50 pounds, no ice cap. And get this, he eats twice as many fish the average adult penguin eats. Pesto might shrink down some when he sheds his fluffy brown baby feathers for the more classic black and white tuxedo look, but his keepers at Sea Life Melbourne Aquarium in Australia say he'll always be a big boy. All right, everyone. Remember, tomorrow is hashtag Your Word Wednesday. Your word can make it in the show and boost our vocabulary. So put your unique vocab word and definition in the comment section of my most recent post at Koi Wire on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and we're going to pick a winner for tomorrow's show. Our shout out today is going to all of my Badgers at Ribideau Middle School in St. Joseph, Missouri. Rise up. Have an awesome one, everyone. I'll see you right back here tomorrow on CNN.